As all of you know, I am Josh. I am the intern here at Family Baptist Church. I've had the pleasure of meeting many of you here, but I definitely do not know all of you yet. But that's who I am, if in case I have not met you and talked to you personally. But today we'll be opening up the Word of God, and we'll be turning to Luke chapter 7, and we'll be starting at verse 36. Luke chapter 7, and we'll be reading verses 36 through 50. And then what we'll do is we'll just go through and we'll exposit the word and then make application. And I hope it will be a blessing to you, as I know it's been to my life and making the changes that I need to make after reading it. Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went and sat down to eat. The Pharisee's house brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And Jesus said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with them began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Father, I just pray right now as we go through this text that you would help me to be faithful to it, that you would allow me to only say what you are saying and nothing more. I pray, God, that you would help us to be sinners who are grateful for our salvation, and that, God, we would see ourselves in need of your grace each and every day. I pray that even as we look at this text and we see the truths in it, that it would change us from the inside out, and God, it would make us more appreciative for what you have done for us in the cross. We thank you for salvation. So diving right into this text, we see in verse 36 through 38, the introduction, we see Jesus partaking in a Pharisee's house. Now, this is interesting. We normally see Jesus interacting with sinners and the low and out of people. But to associate with a self-righteous Pharisee who is a hypocrite, that was interesting. So we see this is the setting. He accepts the offer for a Pharisee, and he goes to eat with them. And we see that Jesus deals with people on an individual basis. And then suddenly in verse 37, we transition from the Pharisee's house and Jesus sitting there to eat to a woman who was a sinner. And that's all we really know about this woman. Commentators have speculated that this woman was perhaps Mary. But all we know for sure is that the text says she was a sinner. And when she knew that Jesus was there at the Pharisee's house, she immediately goes and brings an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And what begins to happen is she stands behind him, and then she gets down on her knees, and she begins to wet his feet with tears. And then afterwards, after wetting, she begins to wipe his feet with her hair. And then after that, she then kisses his feet and then anoints it with oil. And so what's motivating this woman? What is motivating this woman when she hears about Jesus to come all the way to a Pharisee's house of all places where she'd be ridiculed for sure, and then get down on her feet, wet his feet with her tears, wipe it with her hair, anoint it with oil, and kiss his feet continually? And we're going to see that later on in this chapter. If we look down to verse 47, we're going to see ultimately it's her gratitude for the forgiveness of Christ that he has granted to her already. And that's what's motivating her to show her love and her affection for Jesus even now. So let's move on to see what happens next in verse 39. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And now we need to understand, this is Simon the Pharisee, and what he's doing here is he's doubting Jesus. He is doubting absolutely. He says, if you were a prophet, Jesus, and you're not, you would know surely who this woman is, and you would definitely not allow her to touch you because she's unclean. And so what's the big deal? Why is it a big deal that Jesus not allow this woman to touch her if he is a prophet? It's just important to understand the context of back in the day. Many of the teachers and rabbis, they would cleanse themselves, as was by law, and it was important that they don't allow anything unclean to touch them. And so he's saying, Jesus, if you're really a prophet, if you're really a teacher, you really should not be allowing this to happen, especially if you know who she is and what she's done. And so we see Jesus take this rebuttal from the Pharisee. He's getting called out, so to say, by the Pharisee. And he's saying, Jesus, if you're really a prophet, I don't really believe you are, but if you are, you would definitely know who this woman is. And so Jesus, as he often does, tells a story, tells a parable. And we see that in the next few verses, verses 40 through 43. And we'll read that now together here. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. And so before we move on, we're going to examine this parable. Who is the creditor? And coming in from the outside and looking at it, we can clearly tell that the creditor is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the creditor, and the two debtors, one is the Pharisee, and one is the woman. And we can suppose that the one who owed 500 would be the woman who was a sinner. And then the other is Simon, who owed 50. And now both of them, notice in the parable, had nothing to pay. He freely forgave them both. And then, this is a side note, but this is really the gospel right here too. We clearly see the gospel here. None of us, no matter how bad we are, whatever we do, we all have different amounts of sins that we do each and every day. But the truth is, no matter what good we can do, no matter what we do, we can never pay Jesus Christ back. And we see that they both cannot pay him back. And that's the same true for us. But God, with his gift of salvation, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, if we trust that, he will forgive your sins no matter how great they are. But that's not the point Jesus is making here, but you can clearly see the gospel here within the story. He says then, which of them will love him more? And then Simon, very suspiciously, as he knows already Jesus has entrapped many other people who have questioned him, he's like a little weary. He's like, you know, he doesn't want to fall into it, get condemned himself. He says, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. And then he continues to explain the parable. And we see verses 44 through 47, which are critical to our understanding of the parable. And we'll read that now. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, we should look at verse 47 because that really helps us in our understanding. It says, therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven because she loved much. That's not saying that because she loved much, she's forgiven of her sins. That's exactly what it's not saying. What it is saying is her sins, which are many, are forgiven and is evident by the way that she loved. Basically, when he goes back, we're going back to 44, he's pointing to the woman. He says, again, he said, "You gave me no kiss." And back then, it was a basic greeting. It's like a handshake to greet your guests, to show basic hospitality. And Simon doesn't even do that. He doesn't greet him with a kiss. But this woman has not ceased to kiss his feet since the moment she entered. So we can see, again, this great love for Jesus Christ and the motivation behind it, forgiveness of her sins. And then continuing on again, "You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil." And this oil, so yeah, sure, she anoints his feet with oil. What's the big deal? Well, if we do a little bit of research on the alabaster flask of fragrant oil, scholars have found that this oil could have been up to a year's worth of pay and labor. So it would have been shocking, to say the least, to see her break it and then pour it on his feet. This woman is giving Jesus Christ her all. She is giving everything. She's crying. She's showing as much love as she can. And it's overflowing from a heart filled with gratitude. And she really understands the extent of the forgiveness of her sins. And pouring out a year's worth of labor, that's how much is worth on his feet? The people around there, needless to say, were like, "I don't get this. Why is she doing this?" But she understands who Christ is. And it shows, again, her heart. She understands that she was forgiven of much, and therefore she loves much. Now, the warning that we need to worry about is at the end of verse 47. "But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And this is the Pharisee. And as I went through this, I definitely don't see myself as the woman who's giving Jesus Christ her all. It's evidence. Like, I'm not, do I see myself as a person who has been saved of much sin? Do I really see myself as a person who is indebted to Christ like this woman? More or less. I more or less see myself associated with this Pharisee. One who really doesn't see himself as a great sinner in need of great forgiveness, but rather a sinner in need of little forgiveness. And we have to be careful, because at the very end he says, "But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." But the truth is we've been forgiven of so much, each and every one of us, no matter what walk of life you're at. And no matter how much you think you've sinned or not, we have to recognize the seriousness of our sin. And perhaps that's maybe what we're struggling with today, seeing the seriousness of our sin. I know I definitely do on a daily basis. I tend to neglect my sins. I say, "Well, it was an exaggeration." Well, no, that's a lie, and that's a sin, and it's serious. And maybe an analogy that can help us come across why our sin is so serious is one that was given to me by my teacher at school. And he says this: suppose a brother hits his sister. What's going to happen to him? Well, he's probably going to get spanked, or he's going to get grounded or something. So let's say his parents come over now, right? And they're going to inflict this punishment to him. But now that same boy hits his parents. What happens then? The consequence for that action goes up. Now let's see, okay, for the sake of argument, the boy's out of control. They have to call the police on him. Police come over, the boy hits the police officer. What happens? The consequence, the level of punishment goes up even further. Now just entertain this thought one more time. You're in the court of law before the judge. This boy is for doing all these actions. He tries to hit the judge. Obviously, the level of consequences just keeps going up and up and up. But it would be ludicrous to say that hitting the sister would inflict the same amount of punishment as hitting the judge. But I don't understand. Isn't that the same action? I mean, you're sinning against that person, you're sinning against that person, but it's not the sin that's the issue. It's who it's against. And that's the problem we often see, is our sin isn't just against another person, human being. And that's what we tend to understand. It's against an infinitely holy and just God. And when we begin to grasp that, when we begin to see that our sin is against God Almighty over all the universe, it demands an infinitely holy consequence. And that ultimately is hell. And that's what we all deserve. And when we begin to understand this truth, when we begin to see ourselves as not little sinners in need of little grace, but as big sinners in need of great grace, only then can we begin to truly love Christ as we ought, from a heart filled with a love for him that's pure and holy. So we ask ourselves this question: are we the Pharisee or are we the woman? We have to ask that question seriously, because oftentimes we're viewing our sins as little and we don't see ourselves in need of great grace. But we have to be careful again to make sure that we don't minimize our sins, but to view it as serious as they are. If we don't, we will become pride-filled Christians, and we'll be walking in arrogance and saying, God, yeah, sure, I need you to save me from hell, but I really don't need you from anything else. And that's not what we're going for here. We're going for, God, I need you at every moment of my life, every day. And we need to be dependent on him at every moment. So we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. You can turn there if you like, but it states, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for them that they might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And what is that saying? The love of Christ controls us. A heart filled with gratitude for what he did for us. When we understand that he took the infinitely holy consequences that we deserved, and he placed it on Jesus Christ, that will overflow our life with joy and love. And we must be meditating on it each and every day. So in application, do our lives reflect hearts that have been forgiven much or hearts that have been forgiven little? And that's going to be the main point I want to ask today, because this woman understands it. She gets it. And she demonstrated it. Do our actions demonstrate it by the way that we live at every moment of our life? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. Just bringing out one aspect of this story. God, there's so much more that could be said about it. So much more detail you could go into. But I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to grasp the joy of our salvation, that we are sinners saved from your wrath. God, I just thank you so much for sending your son for each and every one of us who believe on his name, and that we are cleansed by his blood. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to live lives that reflect the forgiveness that has happened in our heart and would motivate us, Lord, to follow your commandments, to follow you with all that we are. And God, that you'd help us to follow your two greatest commands, to love you, Lord, with all that we are, filled with hearts of gratefulness, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we pray this in your name. Amen.